like to turn to Book of Acts, chapter 9. And we'll also be going, as we did this morning, to Acts 22 and Acts 26. We just want to read a portion in each of these places, a portion of what we read this morning, with the emphasis on a different place. But in Acts chapter 9, we'll read verses 3 and verse 4. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? In Acts chapter 22, verses 6 and verse 7. It came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then in Acts chapter 26, read verses 12 through 14. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Again, each of these passages, of course, have reference to Saul's salvation as he was making the journey to Damascus. What we read there in chapter 9 is a portion of the actual account of what happened. What we read in Acts chapter 22 is a portion of Paul's testimony of his salvation experience before a multitude of his countrymen. And if you read there in Acts chapter 21, you get a pretty good idea of the background. We see that Saul was rushed upon by his countrymen. He was arrested. He was given permission to speak before the multitude as they were leading him. They were crying out away with this man, wanted him dead. And he was given the opportunity to preach to the multitude. And he recounted the day the Lord saved his soul. The text in Acts chapter 26 also is another time that Paul testified, this time before the king, Agrippa. Prior to this, again, we said he'd been arrested. He's now been imprisoned for 2 years. While he was in prison, he made an appeal to Caesar, and he would then, of course, eventually go and stand before Agrippa, where again he was permitted to speak. We see this in Acts chapter 26 and verse 1. And once again, with a heart full of praise, he gave glory to God for the day that the Lord saved his soul. Now in Acts chapter 9, where we find the actual record of Saul's conversion, again, remember, his heart is filled with rage toward Christ, toward those who identified with Christ, toward those who declared the name of Christ. And he is on his way. He has authority from the chief priest, and he's on his way to Damascus. The purpose of his journey is to hunt down God's people, to imprison them. And it was as he's on his way to Damascus. The Bible says when he was near Damascus, about noon, the Lord appeared miraculously and saved his soul. In his two testimonies, Acts 22 and Acts 26, before the multitude and before King Agrippa, he plainly stated in both of those testimonies that he was on his way to Damascus to persecute. Notice in Acts chapter 22 and verse 5. Acts 22 and verse 5. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the elders from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem to be punished. So he makes it clear why he was on his way to Damascus. And before Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, in verse 10, he says, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them very often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, with authority and commission from the chief priest. So Saul made it clear in his testimony why he was headed to Damascus. It needs to be said that the focus of Saul's quote-unquote free will was to imprison God's people. That's where his will was taking him. That's what he willed to do. His will was to stamp out the name of Christ. That was his will. His will was in bondage to his nature. His will was in bondage to his sinful desires. And so it is with all unsaved sinners. And it was at this time when his will was taking him to Damascus to persecute that Jesus appeared and saved his soul. You see, when Jesus appeared, Saul's will was changed. His will was changed as a result of God's presence. Suddenly there was a light that engulfed Saul. That was the presence of the Lord. In other words, what we have in Acts chapter 9 is God imposing his will upon Saul. And that's how it is in salvation. It wasn't that I was willing. I was made willing by his power. I was made willing when he imposed his will upon me. And that's how it was here with Saul. We read in Psalm 110 and verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. The Lord doesn't save anybody against their will. But no one left to themselves wills to be saved. God makes us willing by his power. Again, Saul would have continued all the way into Damascus, and Saul would have done what he set out to do had not God changed his will. The conversion of Saul is a wonderful illustration that salvation is by grace, that salvation is by the mercy and power of God. It is a marvelous illustration of the change that God brings about in the salvation of a sinner. The record of Saul's salvation reveals that salvation is truly a miraculous work of God. And it shows where we must place our hope for those who are yet unsaved. We must place our hope in the one and only one who can save them. That's where our hope lies. Now, from the verses that we read for our text, we want to emphasize tonight the voice that Saul heard that day around noon near Damascus. Notice again in Acts chapter 9, verse 4. He fell to the earth, and he heard a voice. Acts chapter 22 and verse 7. I fell unto the ground and heard a voice. And in particular, Acts 26, verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He spoke to me in the Hebrew tongue. I want to speak this evening on the subject of God speaks in our language. He spoke unto me in the Hebrew tongue. The voice that Saul heard doctrinally refers to what is known as the effectual call of the sinner. And that is an absolutely necessary part of salvation. No one is saved without it. The effectual call of God. And we want to consider that call this evening. And may I say that when God calls, he does so in our language. If God saves a Korean, he does so, he calls them in Korean. Japanese, doesn't matter. He spoke unto me in the Hebrew tongue. Now, the Bible, I believe, teaches that there is a general or outward call of God. This call goes forth every time the Word of God is opened and read. This call goes forth every time the Word of God is preached, every time the Word of God is referred to. This call is constantly going forth. There are certain verses of Scripture that you cannot possibly read without a general call going forth. For example, in Isaiah 45 and 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Every time that verse is read, there is a general call. The general call is, look unto me and be ye saved. Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah 55, in verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. That's a general call. And there, of course, we could spend the rest of the evening looking at verses where we see this general call. But this call is outward. It is outward because it is not attended by the inward effectual work of the Holy Spirit. This call is always ineffective by itself. It makes man responsible. Saul had received this call on many occasions. Again, Acts chapter 7, we're not going to go there for time's sake, but he was there when Stephen was martyred. And he heard Stephen preach. And Stephen preached a very powerful message there in Acts chapter 7. And Saul heard it. And there was a general outward call to Saul. God would use this to bring Saul to a place. But this was still an outward call. It did not produce salvation. We see that no doubt he had heard Christ preach many times after he had heard Stephen preach. Imagine that all the people that Saul arrested, don't you believe that those people told Saul about Jesus Christ? Oh, I believe they did over and over and over. And I believe every time that Saul heard that name, he got more and more angry. He became more and more enraged. That's why it doesn't upset me. It saddens me. But it does not upset me when somebody gets enraged at the preaching of the gospel. That's what lost folks do. That's what they do. It upsets me more when they don't get upset. It upsets me more when they leave here happy as if they didn't hear a thing. But Saul, I have no doubt in my mind, as he arrested these people, he became more and more enraged as he heard over and over and over the message of Christ. And I believe this is what the Lord is referring to when he said, it is hard for thee, Saul, to kick against the pricks. The pricks was the goad. That was a long, sharp stick that was used to poke the animals to move them along. And every time Saul heard a message of Jesus Christ, it was as if God had that long, sharp stick and just poking Saul. And what did Saul do with it? He kicked against it. He resisted. That's what people do with the outward call. And that's why some folks get so mad. It's as if God is just poking them with a stick. And you go home that night and you go to bed and there's God just poking you with that stick. It gets upsetting after a while. And those folks, pretty soon, it's, I'm going to stay away from there. I don't want to be poked anymore. That's how God works. It's hard for thee to kick against the goads. And what happens? What would happen when that oxen would kick against that goad? He would just bring more injury and more pain to himself. Made his way even that much more miserable. And that's how it is with lost sinners. So Saul kicked against the message. He resisted the message, inflicting more and more wounds to himself and becoming more and more enraged. But all of that was the outward call. The Lord many times poked someone with that sharp stick for weeks, for months, for years. Sometimes he never brings them to hear the effectual call. He just pokes them. Other times he brings them to a point where they're going to hear. But that's all the Lord's business. And that's another message. There is also a particular or inward call. And what we just read here, on his way to Damascus, Paul that day experienced a particular call, an inward call. This call is the consequence and effect of election and predestination. Notice in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them, the predestinated, he who predestinated, he also called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he glorified. Predestination, same one who predestinates calls in his time. Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It's amazing how many people quote this verse and never see the second half. It's amazing to me. For good to them that love God, to them who are the called. Looks to me like someone reading that verse would say, wonder who that is. The called, and they are called according to His purpose. This is the effectual call. This call is referred to many times. We're going to read several scriptures. I'm going to try not to make comment. I'm not promising, but I'm going to try not to make comment. The verses speak very plainly. But Romans chapter 1, verse 6. Among whom are ye also the called? The called of Jesus Christ. We've already read Romans 8. Verse 28. Then notice Romans 9, verse 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. Verse 23 and verse 24. And that He might make known the riches of His glory under the vessels of mercy. Before that, He talked about the vessels of wrath. The vessels of mercy, which are the elect of God, which He had afore prepared unto glory. The vessels of mercy. That He might make known the riches of His glory and the vessels of mercy which He had before prepared in the glory, even us refers to the vessels of mercy, whom He hath called. All the vessels of mercy will be called, whether they be Jews, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Well, in verse 13, he talks about we've been chosen to salvation through sanctification, the setting apart of the Spirit, and belief of the truth. You will not be saved without believing. But the believing is not left up to us. Verse 14, whereunto refers back to the belief of the truth. Whereunto He called you by our gospel. That tells us what He uses to call. He uses the gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Saul was on his way to persecute God's people. Saul was filled with hatred. He was not called because he was a good guy. He was not called because he was a nice guy. He was not called because he was seeking Christ. And you and I are not called according to our works, but according to His, God's purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 15. But He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Verse 9 of chapter 2. The latter part of that verse says that we have been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. The God of all grace has called us. Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are sanctified, set apart by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. And again, we could look at many other scriptures. But there is the call. God, there is a calling that goes out that brings salvation with it. It is referred to as a heavenly calling. Hebrews 3 and verse 1, the writer of Hebrews said, holy brethren, partakers, to be a partaker is means that we experience it, partakers of the heavenly calling, of the heavenly calling. So let's consider some things about this call as we see it here in our text. First of all, this call is personally unexpected by the recipient and can occur at any time. We see in our text verses, in Acts 9 verse 3 and in Acts 22 and verse 6, that what happened, happened suddenly. That is, it happened instantaneous. It was very abrupt. And it was without notice. You do not make plans on Sunday morning. You know, today I feel like being saved. Today I'm going to decide, I'm going to make my decision for Christ. Folks, it don't work that way. Doesn't work that way. You can just be walking down the road filled with hatred for the Lord, and bam, it happens. The Lord saves a soul. I've seen it happen. You've seen it happen. I've seen one particular individual in my mind right now, but they've come into the house of God filled with hate. And the Lord saved them. And they had no plan of being saved that day. None whatsoever. But the Lord saved them. And so Paul says it was sudden. Left to himself, he would have continued to Damascus. And would have done what he set out to do. This call was attended, and it always is, by the power of the Lord's presence. In all three text passages, has a direct result of the power of the Lord's presence, which was that light from heaven. There was an immediate effect. It wasn't that he said there was a light from heaven and then we proceeded to walk another 50 miles and then I fell down. No, there was a light from heaven and I fell to the ground. There was the power of the Lord's presence that is always there when God is going to save a soul. The power of the Lord's presence. And there was an immediate effect. The immediate effect was they fell to the ground. They were overpowered. They were overcome by the presence of the Lord. Now notice in Acts chapter 9 verse 4. Following this light from heaven, we read at the latter part of verse 3, round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. And then notice what it says. And heard. After he was overcome by the presence of this light, he heard. Notice Acts 22, verse 7. And I fell unto the ground and heard, and heard. This is the difference between the general call and the effectual call. The difference is the power of the Lord's presence. That's the difference. Acts chapter 26, verse 14. Acts 26, verse 14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice. So this call is attended by the power of the Lord's presence. This call and the hearing of the call was personal. It's very personal. Notice that Paul, in his testimony before Agrippa, in Acts 26 and verse 13, in the latter part of that verse, he refers to them which journeyed with me. Saul was not by himself that day on the road to Damascus. There were others with him. And when the light appeared, which is Christ's presence, notice verse 14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, they all felt something. Everyone in that group that day felt something of the power of Christ's presence. We've seen it happen. The Lord comes down, saves a soul, and I don't care how hard another lost sinner might be, they can't go from there without feeling something. Because God's been amongst us. And they all fell to the earth. But feeling the power and being saved is two entirely different things. Now notice in Acts chapter 9, verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. And then notice what it says. Hearing a voice, but seeing no man. All these others, they felt the power of his presence. And they even heard a voice. But there is a difference between hearing a voice and hearing that voice speak words. Big difference. They heard a voice. Now notice Acts 22 verse 9. Because a lot of people think this is a contradiction, but it's not. Acts 22 verse 9. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and they were afraid. Well, and we've seen it happen. When the Lord comes down and saves someone, there are other lost people there. You can almost pick out the lost folks because they can't get out of there fast enough. God's people, they want to kind of hang around. This is a wonderful thing. You just want to hang around. But the lost, they can't hit that door fast enough. And that's how it was here. They were afraid. In verse 9, but they heard not the voice. You say, well, it just said over in Acts chapter 9 that they did hear the voice. Read on. They heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. They didn't hear words, they heard a voice. But the Lord's presence was there that day for Saul, and he heard a voice speak to him. It's personal. It's personal. Though the others felt some of the effect of the Lord's presence, only Saul heard the voice of the Lord speaking to him. And it was very personal. Acts 9, verse 4. Acts 22, verse 7. Acts 26, verse 14. Saul, Saul. That's personal. When someone speaks to you by name, they have something to personally say to you. The others heard a voice. They did not necessarily hear words, they heard a voice. But Saul not only heard a voice, he heard a voice speak to him. And the voice said, Saul, Saul. So, it was a personal call. I want you to notice something else. This call, not only was it personal, it was clear, and it was easily understood. Verse 14 again of Acts chapter 26. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice. I not only heard a voice, but I heard a voice speaking unto me. And then notice the next two words. And saying. That means I not only heard a voice speak to me, I know what that voice was saying to me. I understood what the voice was saying unto me. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying, and I love this, in the Hebrew tongue. God spoke Saul's language. And Saul clearly understood what he said. We read in Revelation 7 and verse 9 that in heaven there are people of all nations, all kindreds and tongues. And you know what? God called each one of those in their own language. In their own language. I can stand up and preach in English. And there can be a Vietnamese in the congregation. And God can speak to them in Vietnamese. I believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. God speaks. When God wants to save a Japanese person, He speaks to them in Japanese. He calls them by name in Japanese. He confronts them with their sin in Japanese, whether it be Spanish or whatever language you want to talk about. Their language is no barrier to God. None. He spoke to me in Hebrew. It would not have done any good if God spoke to me in Japanese. I don't understand Japanese. But God spoke to me in English. And He said, Dan, Dan, why? Confronted me with my sin. God calls each one in His own language. God speaks every language there is. You know, I may think weird things sometimes, but every now and then I think, well, I'm praying in English. I'm sure that while I am praying, there is somebody over in Japan praying in Japanese. There's somebody over in China praying in Chinese. And on and on and on we can go. And you know what? God knows exactly what each one's saying. That's amazing. And we're all talking at once. And God understands. And God hears. And God speaks in our own language. Notice in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And there were, in verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And you can read verse 7 there. We got to hurry on. Verse 8. They said, "And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" Verse 11, "Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." I am so glad that God came to me in his power. I came under the influence of his presence, and he spoke. He spoke to me. I was not the only one in the room that day. There were many others. Many others who were lost. But he came into that room that day and spoke personally to me. And I knew what he was saying. He gave me understanding. And this is how God works when he saves a sinner. Now after this event took place there in Acts chapter 9, the Bible tells us that Saul was struck with blindness. And Saul did go to Damascus. He was led there by the hand of those who journeyed with him. But he's in Damascus now. He has no desire to persecute anybody. And he's blind. And you can read on there in Acts chapter 9, but we're not going to save time. But he was blind for 3 days. And we know that God sent Ananias to him. And Paul testified of this before the multitude. Notice what he said. This is wonderful. In Acts chapter 22, verse 12, "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked up upon him." There's a message there, Brother Saul. Brother Saul. Just moments ago, 3 days ago, he was a persecutor. And now he's a brother. Brother Saul. "Receive thy sight, in the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said," this is what Ananias said to Saul, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee." Ananias, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but Ananias didn't come to Saul and say, "Wow, Saul, I'm sure glad you said that prayer. You'll feel a lot better now. Things are going to be all right." No, Ananias came and he said, "God has chosen you, Saul, that thou shouldst know his will and see that just one." Isn't that what happened there in Acts chapter 9? He saw. He saw the light. "And shouldst hear, God hath chosen thee that you should see," and he saw. "And God hath chosen you that you should hear the voice of his mouth." And that happened too. And the reason all this happened was, "For thou shalt be witness unto all men what thou hast seen and heard." Thank God for the call. We read in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, "Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." I remember well, and I realize there are people who do not remember the exact date and all of that, and I'm fine with that. I don't have a problem with that. There had to be a time in your life where God interrupted your journey and you had an experience with the Lord. And in that day, He called you by name. For all of us here, in the English tongue, He called us by name. I remember several years ago, preachers debating what language God spoke. And I sat there and thought, this is stupid. God speaks all languages. He speaks them all, and I'm glad He does. I'm glad He does. Notice John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is another wonderful illustration of the call. We read here of a sheepfold, and what that was is the shepherds in the evening would leave their sheep in this particular sheepfold, and the people who were over the sheepfold, the porter, he would watch the sheep, and then the shepherds would come the next day and call their sheep and lead them back out to pasture. And this is what Jesus is referring to in John 10 and verse 2. He says, "He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." The shepherd doesn't have to climb over the wall. He's the rightful owner of the sheep. He enters in by the door. To him, the shepherd of the sheep, the porter, which is a good picture of the Holy Spirit here, the porter openeth. The sheep didn't open the door. And I don't care how long that shepherd stood at that door and knocked, I promise you there was not one sheep that was going to come and open that door. That's true with salvation also. The Lord opens the door. To him the porter openeth. And I love this. And the sheep hear his voice. The shepherd might be Japanese, and he speaks in Japanese. And guess what? His sheep hear him. The shepherd might be English, might be Hebrew. You get my point. But whatever it is, the shepherd speaks his language, and the sheep hear. They hear. And it's effectual. He calleth his own sheep by name. And he leadeth them out. That is salvation. And one day, notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we will close. One day, this one who called you and I by his grace, one day he's coming again. For his sheep. And in verse 16 it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." He's going to say something. With the voice of the archangel. Now you can believe what you want to, but I believe that he's going to call me by name that day. And I believe he's going to call all his sheep by name that day. And he's going to speak in their language. Be a mess. If he came and only spoke an English tongue, then the poor Japanese is going to be left out. They didn't hear the voice. But no, there's the voice. Immediately, instantaneously, we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That is an effectual call. That is an effectual call. And when we get up in the air, no one's going to be looking around and say, "Where's Brother Brad? I know he was saved. He must not have heard." No, they all heard. And they all came. And that's how it is when God saves a soul. He comes where we are. And he calls us by name. He spoke to me, Paul said, in the Hebrew tongue.
saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus speaks to you, that he spoke to you in the hour of salvation in a language that you understood? John 10 says, the sheep know his voice. I still know that voice. And he still speaks to me in the English tongue. He speaks to each one of us in the English tongue. To others, he speaks in another tongue. But he still speaks. And I'm just glad that God speaks in my language, because that saved my soul. And that continually, over and over, saves my life. My sheep know my voice. First time we really heard that voice was on our Damascus road. And it's a voice we'll never forget. We open God's word, we read, and we hear that voice. We hear that voice speaking to us in our tongue. And I really believe that you can take an English Bible and preach the word of God to a Chinese person, and God can cause them to understand. I don't believe that. Salvation is of God. It's not of man. Salvation is a miracle. God can speak in any person's language. And since there is a large representation of languages in heaven, it's obvious that God has spoken in every language to everyone in heaven. Aren't you glad that you can consider yourself the called of Jesus Christ? What a blessing. The called of Jesus Christ. Brother Larry, if you